Hello and welcome into another edition of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week 5 best bets on a Friday night. Codes, how are we doing? How are we feeling? We confident in our picks this week?
Yeah, I felt pretty good about my picks earlier this week, and luckily for me, we haven't seen too much line movement on a lot of those games, so feel pretty good about
very
my
little,
five picks.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to keep me up tonight is that 11 o'clock kickoff tomorrow morning between Mizzou and Texas.
Oh, God.
That's the only thing that I'm worried about going into this weekend. So besides that, I'm ready to roll. How do you feel about your picks?
I feel pretty good. Yeah, there was a few that I was actually I wanted to get in that I had to leave out. I like that feeling. I like having like 7 that I like rather than, you know, trying to force a 5th in sometimes during some of these bye weeks. I was happy with the value on the board that we're looking at. But yeah, I was actually going to ask you, are you more confident in a 3-2 week or a Tigers win tomorrow? And because I don't know what I would answer, honestly.
3-2 week for sure.
I think so too. Jesus.
Hoping for a Tigers win, but I'm a little nervous about that.
It's more hope than it is confidence for sure. Coming off an 8-2 week last week, pod is up to 21-19 on the year through 4 weeks. Cody, start us off. Give me your first best bet for week 5.
Yeah, only fitting that I start this off, because make sure you have your alarm set early Sunday morning. We have a London game, and I will be taking the New York Jets +2.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but everyone knows by now that the games over in London are typically low-scoring affairs. So I want to go ahead and grab the team getting the points. I believe the over-under in this game is 40.5. So if that under finds a way to hit, I love my Jets bet even more. But like I said on Thursday's podcast, kind of okay throwing away some of the tape from last week. I feel like this Jets team was going to take a few weeks to kind of mold. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers only played a couple of snaps last year. Wasn't fully a part of the offseason activity this year, so no surprise that they start out a little bit slow and their offense isn't fully clicking. I expect them to kind of get a little bit better, and I'm excited to see this Minnesota offense, this very prolific Minnesota offense against what I consider to be a good defense in the New York Jets. So, again, I actually had a stat I was going to lead off with that I forgot about, but there's 12 games this weekend, and 9 of them are, I believe, 3.5 or less as a spread. So a lot of games this week where you just kind of have to call your shot and take the team that you want to take. And for me, I think, like I said, this Jets team, I don't love them season long, but I do think that they're better than the performances they've been putting out there. And I do think Minnesota's a little bit overvalued. I think if they would have made this line before the season started, the Jets would have been favorites by probably more than a field goal. So I know the Vikings have looked really good. The Jets have looked kind of iffy, but that's kind of a good buy low, sell high opportunity for me. And like I said, if it's a low scoring game like Vegas is predicting over in London, then I love my Jets +2.5 even more.
Yeah, before the season, it was -4 for the Jets, it looks like here on Action Network. That is listed as the open, so I assume that's beginning of the year, because that wouldn't have been the line, you know, last week at this time either. But yeah, I kind of still feel the same way about this game as I did on Wednesday. Hard for me to get there from an on-field perspective, but it's hard to argue the line movement here. The fact that it's stuck at 2.5 with all of the bets, or at least the tickets coming in on the Vikings, lots of money on the Jets. So pros definitely are with you sometimes. Like I said, you just got to close your eyes and bet these ugly dogs. And they are a lot of the times the bets that cash the most. And I would not bet the 2.5 on the Vikings just because I am scared of the way that this this line has just stuck at 2.5, even though, you know, any casual bettor would probably just take the Vikings under a field goal after what you saw from the Jets last week. My first best bet of the day, only one during the noon games, actually. All 4 of my other ones are going to be either 3 o'clock or the standalones. But Buffalo +1, this has gone to 5th on the list. I'm a little scared of it, but I still trust Josh Allen in a basically a pick 'em at this point. We're getting a free point here in case of a 1-point loss we push. We'll take that. Teams with a 60% win rate or better after a 20-point loss, that would be the Buffalo Bills in this case, 65% against the spread the last 20 years. The next game, When that game is on the road, it's even better. 40-12-1 against the spread. Those teams in that spot the last 20 years, generally just a spot you want to back these good teams. After they get blown out, they tend to have bounce back performances. I think this Houston team has, you know, had a lot of hype coming in, hasn't quite gelled yet. This is a really tough test at home against, in my estimation, the best quarterback in the league in Josh Allen. If I'm getting him at +1, basically anywhere in the league, it's going to be tough for me to turn it down, especially against the Houston Texans, who, like I said, good team. I don't know if they're a great team to be laying points to Josh Allen is a tall ask. So I will just take the Bills +1. They do have a few injuries that kind of concern me on defense, but I'm hoping they can hold it together. If they keep CJ to 24 or less, I think we win this game.
Yeah, like I said, on the Thursday pod, this one will not be included in my five, but I think that you're on the right side of the bet for sure. Another set I don't have off the top of my head, but before the game against the Ravens, there was a very long streak that the Bills were on where they didn't lose by basically six or more.
It was like 42 games, yeah.
Yeah, it was multiple years. So I like that bet quite a bit because you're at least – odds are you're never going to be dead in that. You know, if you end up, if they kick a field goal to win at the end or something like that, you know, that might just be kind of be bad luck. But the Bills will be in this game. And, yeah, in these kind of games, I want to take the better quarterback and especially getting, like you said, getting that extra point. So,
yep.
I'll jump into my second game, actually, because I only have one more that's going to be in the 12 o'clock slate. And another one kind of a little bit stinky, but I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers +4 at the Chicago Bears. It kind of goes back to a little bit of what I thought earlier in the offseason. I really didn't love this Carolina Panthers team this year, but I did like some of their offseason moves that they had made. And I felt like this team was going to be a lot better than it was the previous season. We've obviously seen what this offense is potentially capable of with, you know, solid quarterback play from Andy Dalton versus what they were getting from Bryce Young. And then on the flip side of that, you know, Chicago, well, I do think that Caleb Williams has looked better maybe the last six quarters of football that he's played in the beginning of the year, still willing to fade that offense a little bit. Like I said on Thursday, I just don't think that they should be favorites of more than a field goal really against anybody the way they've looked. So another position that I'm willing to take. And again, a little bit stinky. The Panthers team, you know, they've had a couple of solid weeks, but still not a great team. But like I said, if I'm getting more than a field goal, got to take it. Carolina +4.
Yeah, I've heard there could be some wind concerns in this game. I'm not even sure that's bad for your bet necessarily. But if you guys wake up on Sunday and there's talk of bad wind in Chicago, I would hammer that under. I think it'll drop pretty quickly. It's at 41.5 right now. Wind usually kind of the biggest correlator with weather and unders, you know, actually like stuff like rain and snow doesn't correlate with unders on its own. It's usually the wind that is the big deal that makes obviously passing the ball so much tougher and leads to lower scores at the end of the day. So if there is, and wind is obviously notoriously kind of hard to project accurately with, you know, a great degree of accuracy and this far in advance. So it's something you'll have to kind of just wake up on Sunday. If there are sustained 20-mile-an-hour winds or whatever the number is, then you can start hammering that under because it will come down, I believe, into the high 30s if there is a enough to be affecting the game. My next best bet here, we're going to Denver, going against my Broncos this week. We're taking Las Vegas +3. Like I said on Thursday, I am a little bit cool. I have cooled on this one a little bit. But I think the number's just too good. The fact that it got back up to 3 kind of sealed the deal for me. I've given out this stat before, but this one really applies in this game, especially underdogs in divisional games with totals under or equal to 42. This total sitting at 36 last time I checked. 84-57-4 against the spread since 2018. Makes a lot of sense. Usually divisional games tighter than you expect, or at least the public expects, and games without a lot of points. There's not a lot of points separating those two teams. You know, it's pretty simple stuff, but if you're getting a full field goal against Bo Nix and that Denver offense, I think you absolutely have to take it. It is a public dog, so be aware. Public's been getting killed this year, but I'm still going to ride with it. Even though the sharps are on the other side, I think this is just too good of a number, and I don't really know what they're seeing with the Denver offense. I think it's all about the Denver defense, but at the end of the day, I think we can cash this bet if we get to 14 points. That's not a lot to ask out of Gardner Minshew in a, you know, serviceable Oakland passing attack.
100% agree with you. That would have been my third best bet, Las Vegas plus 3 at Denver as well. So, yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. And, yeah, we don't got to ramble on about that game too much, but I agree with you. I think that, again, if this is a pick'em, I believe I said this on Thursday, if it's a pick'em, I'm staying away. I don't love Vegas that much to, you know, take a money line or anything, but to cover plus 3 and what will most likely be, 10-13 game or, you know, something like that, something very low scoring like that. You just got to take the team with the points. So Vegas plus 3 is on my ticket as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't love fading my boys, but in this spot, I think it's just too obvious to take the full field goal. And, I could easily see us pushing in this game, but I could see a lot of pass at cashing the ticket as well. My third best bet of the day, going to Los Angeles. We're taking the over in the Packers-Rams game. It's 48.5 right now. I try to lock that in. It's a pretty key number there to get it under 50. Two games so far, the Packers have played with Jordan Love, 63 total points in the opening game against the Eagles, 60 points last week with the Vikings and the Packers at home. The Rams defense, they've given up at least 24 in every game so far. This is a really below average unit, and it was projected to be so before the year, so I think it's something we can believe. DVOA, they are 31st against the run and 31st against the pass. That's not great. There are only 32 teams in the league. So I think it's pretty safe to say the Green Bay offense will have success. We basically are just betting on the Rams having more success than the market expects. They have a 1-3 record. Their back's against the wall. This is easily a team that could be battling for a wild card four. They really need this game. I expect Sean McVay to pull out all the stops against his former buddy Matt LaFleur and find a way for the Rams to get into the 20s. And I think if they do that, that we will cash this over pretty easily. I would actually recommend putting a little bit on an escalator too. If you want to, find a alt line that gives you like a 55.5 or something on this game, I think we could see some fireworks here and you'd probably get a nice plus number on that. So 48.5 Green Bay, LA, let's get it.
All righty. I do like that one quite a bit. I'm assuming your fifth pick, does it involve the Chiefs game?
It does. Yeah, I'm riding with you, I imagine.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead and give your fourth pick because I'm tilting a little bit on which one I want to include. I'm down to two, but I just need to think it through a little bit longer.
Fair enough. Yep, I got number 4 locked and loaded. I got to be kind of quiet, though. My fiance will murder me if she hears this one. Pittsburgh minus 2.5 on Sunday night. Dak, a little bit of an odd bird in the fact that he is actually worse as a dog against the spread in his career. Generally, better quarterbacks tend to cover in situations where they get points and not cover in situations where they give for obvious reasons. But Dak's been a little more predictable in his career, 16-18 against the spread as a dog, and he's 1-8 in his last 9 as a dog. Cowboys overall, 2-2 straight up, 2 wins over the Giants and Browns. Those 2 wins looking kind of worse as the day goes on, or as the days go on here. That Browns win, originally kind of viewed as a strong road win to begin the year, but this Browns team obviously has not looked the part that we expected to begin the year. 2 losses to the Saints and the Ravens. So really, do we believe Pittsburgh's a quality opponent? I think so, especially at home in this spot. Cowboys are really public, and this number hasn't budged at all. It's actually moving towards the 3. There's a 2.5 out there at minus 115. So it's moving in Pittsburgh's direction, even though the tickets are coming in on the Cowboys. With Lawrence and Parsons out, it just opens up such a huge matchup advantage for Pittsburgh. I think they're going to be able to run the ball with Fields, and I think they'll do enough on the defensive side. Again, I talked about this on Wednesday, but they match up really well with the Cowboys. Cowboys can't run it. The Pittsburgh Steelers pass rushers can really pin their ears back and get after Dak in this one if they can't establish the run, which they have not done once so far this year. So I think it's kind of safe to say that'll be the case. At 2.5, I really like it. The Pittsburgh team does not score a ton of points, though. So 2.5 is important. I would not want to lay the full 3 here. I lean under 44 as well, but that number is almost suspiciously high, so I might stay away. But 2.5 will take Pittsburgh at home on Sunday night.
Absolutely. I was listening to a couple different podcasts, and surprisingly, they were almost all on the Steelers here. So I think you're on the right side of that bet.
I got talked into it, I will say. I wasn't on it earlier in the week, but I heard some people that liked it. And then once I dug into it, I got swayed that way.
Yeah, that's kind of what's happening here with my fourth pick. And so for the listeners, I'm deciding if I would want to take
Trust the Commanders your gut,
minus
Coach.
The points. But I am going
don't
to
take that.
What's that?
Don't take the Commanders. It's a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know it's a trap, but I shouldn't walk into it. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to that revolves around gambling, the guy who is like the main guy just says he has someone who is all over this Rams team, and he's someone that he trusts and respects very well. And so I'm just going to pass that information along. I'm going to take the Rams plus +3. It seems really gross, and that's probably why they love it even more. But I kind of, like I said, kind of got talked into it. So Rams plus +3, that's currently sitting at minus -105. We may see some line movement that moves it to plus +3.5, which make me a little bit happier. But for the purposes of the podcast, I'll lock in Rams plus +3 right now.
So, I don't mind it. I think that's the side that I end up on if I had to choose. But I don't love a side in that game. We went into this one on Wednesday in pretty great detail because you like the Rams and I like the over. But that's where I would say take the over myself, because I believe if the Rams do win this game, they're going to have to score 27 points to do so. And if they, I just don't see a world where this Green Bay offense is stopped to any great degree in this game. So I could be wrong, but that would be where I would lean in that situation. You're right, though. There is a lot of sharp money coming in on the Rams. And once you can get, if you can still get a full three, that might be worth taking. I think it's at plus 100
you,
right now, too. So it's pretty
good
value.
You talked me into it. I'm taking the over with you. I like the over better. Okay. One of these teams are going to blow each other out, it's going to be Green Bay. Like you're just banking on the Rams.
And they could still cover if they do that.
Close. And I can't do it. I'm going to switch it. I'm going to ride with Nick. We're going to take the over in that game. I feel better that way because, I mean, there's a chance that we see a 35-17 game if Green Bay's offense gets rolling and the Rams, you know, just aren't able to keep up like they haven't been the past couple of weeks. So, yeah. I'm with you. I'm gonna go with the over now as well.
I can just feel a lot more paths to the over than I can to a Rams cover. I think you could have a game where the Rams offense plays well, scores 27 points, and Green Bay wins 34-27. And that would just kind of sting as a Rams plus +3 better. But I think the over covers you in most situations where the Rams would be, you know, getting through on that three. Cody, I know we have the same last best bet, or at least I'm pretty sure we do. So how about you kick it off? I have a few stats to give to support your argument once you give it.
Yeah, absolutely. One that I've been on since the very first episode this week, New Orleans at Kansas City, under 43.5. So the line's moved up since it was out initially this week, but I'm okay with it. Basically, I'm just expecting to see what I've seen the past couple of weeks out of the Chiefs, and that's an offense that doesn't move the ball very well. I know they had one big explosive play last week, but that was really the only explosive play that the offense produced. So if they get one a week, I'm okay betting their unders. And then on the other side of it, their defense is still one of the top defenses in the NFL. So if they can perform to their expectation, the level that they've been playing, then I love this under even more. So if this over finds a way to hit, either the Chiefs offense was good and that's great for me as a fan, or the Chiefs defense gave up a bunch of points and that's worst case scenario for Chiefs fans right now. So got a lot financially and, emotionally riding on this under. So under 43.5 on Monday night.
Yeah, I think I'd sprinkle, like I said, we both like the Saints plus 5.5 as well. The only reason I'm not including that as my fifth is because I'm a little scared of a Derek Carr kind of stinker game that he throws out there every once in a while, especially on the road in Kansas City. Seems like Spagnuolo probably has, a decent plan against Derek Carr. He's seen him a lot. That would be the only reason I'm not on New Orleans, but because that, if that did happen, it would basically guarantee this under, if the Saints come out and score 10, 14 points. There's no way KC covers the other side of it. I think the other thing, Saints defense really kind of flown under the radar. Not many people have been talking about them, but they've been awesome. They have not allowed 20 points to anyone so far this year. They gave up 26 to Atlanta technically, but there were two defensive touchdowns. So they only gave up 12 points to Atlanta's offense that just looked pretty damn good last night against Tampa Bay. only 12 to Philadelphia. I know they were beat up. No AJ Brown coming into the game, and they lost Devonta Smith, but still a pretty talented team that they kept under wraps. And then Dallas, only 19 points in a game that Dallas was chasing points the entire time. Again, we aren't huge fans of this Dallas team this year, but they still have a pretty talented offense. 19 in Dallas while they're chasing points is pretty impressive. So I think it's pretty simple. Both these defenses are really good. Both these offenses, you have reasons to be concerned, especially on Kansas City with the injuries. And both these teams run the ball a lot too. New Orleans, number one in the NFL in rush rate. That keeps the clock moving. KC only 14th. I would expect that to tick up with no Rashee Rice, though, personally. I don't know about how you feel about that, Cody, as a Chiefs fan, but that would be my expectation. And then no huddle percentage. Both of these teams basically never go no huddle. New Orleans, 3.7%. KC, 2.5%. Both bottom six in the NFL. Lots of time in between snaps. That's what we want as underbettors. And then one more for you. Since 2015, only one other team has a better home game to the under percentage. You want to go ahead and guess what team that is, Cody?
Oh, man. Steelers? Oh, Broncos. That Broncos.
Denver they were the Broncos, number
two.
Baby.
They were the number two guest for me. Dang it, man. I don't know. The Steelers seem like they're always going under. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, so you guys still pretty good. 55-36-1 to the under. And that, since 2015, that's including a lot more high-powered Chiefs teams than this one. I know it's a lower total than we're used to with them, but still, this is it's very indicative of what you'd expect when you look at the money percentages here, too. 82% of tickets on the over 43 here. Just because, again, people see Chiefs, people see the earlier output from the Saints offense this year. They want to bet that over. But 18% of tickets on the under here, 53% of money, a very, very heavy sharp lean. I think that's definitely the side. I don't think you got to bet it right now, though. I think this could get bet up more, like I said, because the public is just going to come in on this over when in these standalone games. People like to bet on things to happen, not bet on things to not happen. But the smart bettors know that's probably where the probability lies. So I might wait, see if you can get a 44 on Monday. But 43.5 is a pretty good number too if it ends there.
Yep, absolutely. I actually bet it at 42.5 earlier this week, and I still feel comfortable there. So
I have 43. If you wait
and the line moves a half a point in the wrong direction, it wouldn't scare me off of this under. I like this under quite a bit. So
yeah.
All righty. Well, Nick, let's get out of here. We got some Mizzou.
You want to recap real quick?
Oh yes, yes. Go ahead.
I'll go first. My five best bets. Number one, Buffalo plus one on the road at Houston. Number two, the Raiders plus three on the road at the Denver Broncos. Green Bay, LA Rams over 48.5. Pittsburgh Steelers minus 2.5 at home against the Cowboys on Sunday night. And my last best bet shared with Cody, New Orleans, KC under 43.5 Monday night.
Alrighty, and my five picks this week, the New York Jets plus 2.5 over in London against the Minnesota Vikings, the Carolina Panthers plus 4 at the Chicago Bears, Green Bay and Los Angeles Rams over 48.5, riding with Nick on that one, Las Vegas plus 3 at Denver, another podcast bet, and then three of them this week, actually, New Orleans at Kansas City under 43.5. Don't typically align quite this much with three picks like this, but you can blame it on Nick. Nick gave a really good argument on that over and talked me into it. So. But all right. So cool. Well, nothing else to add there. Hopefully we can bring home another winning week, and hopefully the Mizzou Tigers started out Saturday and we can ride it into Sunday.
Please, please, God, just let me live the dream a little bit longer that Mizzou can make the playoff. I can't get rid of it this quickly.
Yep, come on. Just one game, Texas A&M. All right, peace out, everybody. Good luck this weekend.
Peace.